This is on the subject of bilingual bicultural education certification. And we're going to go into that more this afternoon in the first session, I believe. But at least we want you to look at this recommendation, and you can be thinking about these things too. The Bilingual Education Task Force recommend that the teacher education certification something board, advisory board, consider substituting appropriate experience and bilingual competency for formal training requirements for teacher training, and that members of the task force be made available to discuss this issue with the board at the board's convenience. I received a letter this morning from Roberta Dowell, the State Department of Education certification, that said they were very interested in working with the task force on this subject. And they would be interested on our recommendations on bilingual teacher certification. So here's your chance to let us know what you think. Thank you.
$586,000 for bilingual programs this year, which is a cut from the amount that was available only to SOS schools last year. We decided we had to establish some kind of priority. The basic question we asked was a simple one. Who has the hardest time in school because of language problems? The answer seemed evident. The student who comes to school with little or no English, a monolingual speaker of his own native language, and has to face a teacher who has no native language and speaks only English, is the one who is most disadvantaged, and therefore they have first priority in terms of a claim on the bilingual funds. And the rest of those kind of come in descending order in response to the same basic question. We began operating under the idea that this would be part of a foundation program, and the money would be available not on a competitive basis, but because it was a basic need, and therefore a legitimate part of the requirements for state education funds generally. We found out just at the last meeting, the day before this conference began, that that was not to be the case. And we were disappointed. We expressed that disappointment to the commissioner and expressed the hope to him that we would still find a way to avoid the competitive approach to spending this money. But I must admit that I'm somewhat skeptical that that will happen. I also think probably we ought to say something about that with regard to the certification requirements and the possibility of substituting bilingual bicultural education experience in the classroom for some of the classroom experience that is now sought. The professional education associations have been saying, yeah, we're really interested in that, we want to talk about that, ever since 1969. And so I think if you want something to happen on that score, it's going to take some effort by all of us working with teachers and administrators to make that happen. It's not going to happen just because we get letters that indicate some interest and some sense of cooperation. It's going to take a little more muscle than that. Bill, you want to make a comment?
Yeah, we didn't get your per capita appropriation, but you notice there are $586,000 square miles in the state of Alaska. So you got $1 per square mile.
Hey, that's neat. If you didn't hear that, Bill was just pointing out, Riley, that we didn't get a per capita allotment this time, but if there are 586,000 square miles in Alaska, we get a dollar per square mile. Maybe that's the basis on which we do a lot of things in this state. Yes, as a matter of fact, we brought that point up with the commissioner the other day. And we all hope that there will be suits. And I think Marshall's response to that was a good one. He said he hoped that there would be suits, because then that gives him a lever to go back to Senate Finance and House Finance and say, look, you've got to make the law and the appropriation to implement the law come together. And so if you do get left out, then I would hope that you would seek some kind of recourse in the law. And I assume that you would have the support of the Commissioner of Education if you did that. Yes, Emily. On fancy offices, and not enough of it gets down to the students. And we ought to quit wasting our money that way and have less fancy offices and more money for programs. The question is, of the amount that's appropriated, how much actually reaches the students? And I don't have an answer for that, and I don't think any of us do at this point. All we know is that oftentimes, you're both right, there is a big gap between the amount appropriated and what's actually available to a teacher in the classroom. Emily, you want to speak to that?
I think the guidelines and the direction many agencies are going is putting the burden back on the people. For example, when you send in a proposal or a grant for X number of dollars to do such things, then you're indicating whether you're going to have the fancy office or you're going to have the dollars for the kids. So I think more and more the burden will be on us at the operating level, how many dollars actually get down to the kid and how many dollars actually get down to the office. I think we're going to be more involved now than we ever have been before in the decision-making process and how these dollars are going to be spent once we receive it. I don't know if I have answered your question.
I have a couple of announcements before we go into our workshop. One is that in your packet, when you registered, there was a survey or a questionnaire on school finance. That's really important. It's called Your Opinion Counts. And it's part of a study of the whole financial support system for public education in Alaska. Please fill those out. You can leave them in a box on the registration table just outside the door. And they'll be picked up there and recorded. But that's important. Turn in your opinion count school finance questionnaire. Also this morning, we have some students with us. And they're pretty much in a group down here in front, it looks like. Is Linda Good here? She will introduce these students and maybe say a word about them with the Cook Inlet Native Association.
Like to do is have a stand, get a good look at it, meet the people you can talk to, the rest of the day, because they will